Amen. Do you want to take a seat? Thank you to the band for leading us in worship this morning. And if we've not met before, my name's Alexander. I'm part of the team here at Alive Church. And it is great to welcome you to our gathering today. And as a church, it's such a privilege to be able to worship together, to be able to gather in this space and to lift high the name of Jesus week by week. And I hope that you feel at home here today, whether you are brand new or whether you've been here for many, many years. As I say, it is a joy to be part of this church family. And one of the things that I've found is that as I've joined the church here, I've joined a story that's gone on for far longer than I've been around. So I've been part of this church for 5 and a bit years now, but I've found that I've joined a story that goes back so much further. So there are a team of people who came here 7 years ago now to replant this church. And there were a group of people around 120 years ago who had a vision for a church in this community serving the area around. Now today we're gathered here in this moment, and I hope you feel part of the story of the church. I certainly feel like as I've joined the story of the church, those people who've gone before, their story has become my story. I've stepped into something that I wasn't here in those early days of the plan. I definitely wasn't here 120 years ago when the whole thing started. But the story, the faith, the vision of the people who've gone before is something that I today feel part of. And I hope that you do too as we gather in this church. We join stories all the time. If you join a family, you join a story. If you join a company, you join a story. And if you join a church, you join a story. We're all part of different stories in our lives. And so my question to us is, well, what stories are we part of? What stories are you part of today? We're going to talk this morning a bit about the Bible. I know we open the Bible every Sunday as we gather, but particularly we want to talk about the Bible, God's word, scripture, and what it means for us. And as we open the Bible today to think about the Bible, what I want to do is to invite us to see ourselves as part of the story. Not just to read the Bible as an old book that could be really interesting and maybe even an old book that could be really helpful, but to see the Bible as a story that we are invited to enter into today. So as we do that, we are going to turn to a passage from Paul's letter to Timothy, and 1 Timothy chapter 3. If you've got a Bible with you, I'd invite you to open up. There's some Bibles at the back you're welcome to borrow, or if you've not got a Bible, you're welcome to take one of those home with you today. The words will also be on the screen behind me. We're going to read 1 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 10. And this is what Paul writes. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Each Sunday, we turn to a passage of Scripture to help us understand what it means to live for God today here in the Northeast. And my prayer is that as we look at this passage today and think about the Bible, that we would have a fresh passion to follow Jesus ourselves and see what that means in our day-to-day lives. Paul's writing here to Timothy. Timothy's a young pastor, And Paul is encouraging him. Paul says Timothy's known the words of Scripture since he was a young child, and yet these words have an ongoing importance for him. He says these words make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. That is, the faith that Timothy has, these words help him to bring that to life. Salvation comes from Jesus, but the Word of God breathes life into those and helps us to be wise in the ways of God. I think the helpful explanation is verse 16, and this is what Paul writes in verse 16. He says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." Paul says the Bible is God-breathed. God-breathed. Well, what does that mean? Breath, of course, speaks to life. The good news is I'm breathing this morning, which means I am alive. Take a moment and check you are breathing. If you're breathing, you have life in you today. That's great news. The Bible, as God's living word, comes to us because it is breathed out by God. And often we speak about the breath of God as the creative work of God too. Indeed, the Holy Spirit continues to breathe new life into us today. So as we look at Scripture, God's word, we pray that those words that God breathed continue to bring life to us. Secondly, Paul speaks about them as useful for righteousness. Righteousness is the second word. And I wonder, that's a more difficult one. What does righteousness mean? Well, I know what being right means. If you've got a sibling, you probably have experience of being right. If you ask my brother, I'm sure he'd tell you I'm right all the time. But being righteous isn't just the act of being right. It's a state of being before God, being right before God. And that's not something that we can do for ourselves. Even on days when I feel close to God, I'm definitely a long way from being righteous. That's because righteousness points to a future truth, a future day when God's word changes us so much that we are made like Christ. And this is what's significant in this verse. Because on the one hand, we hear that Scripture is God-breathed. That's something that's happened. And on the other hand, we hear that it points towards righteousness. There's a direction of travel that's going on here. On the one hand, it starts God-breathed, created by God. And on the other hand, it's heading towards righteousness. There's a goal, there's a direction that we're going in. It's going from A to B. So if I was to put two words on it, I would say that the Bible can be life-transforming. And why is that? Well, if it's going from here to here, you'll notice what's in the middle. I'm in the middle. You are in the middle. The Bible can be life-transforming for you and for me. And indeed, that's been part of my own experience as someone following Jesus. I grew up in church for as long as I can remember. My parents both came to faith or came back to faith when I was really young. So I can't remember a time when I didn't want to follow Jesus for myself. But I can remember some key moments along the way. And one of those was as a teenager. I was maybe about 13 in our Sunday morning youth group in my church. And someone challenged us. I'm reading for transformation because I believe that God, by putting me in the middle, can truly transform my own life. The Bible takes us on a life-transforming journey by engaging us in God's story. And it does that because the Bible shows us a greater story. The Bible speaks to the great story of all time in the world. Let me try and do justice to it in 2 minutes. The Bible speaks to creation, that moment when God created everything at the beginning of time. He dreamt up the world in all its beauty. He crafted it by its own power. In creation, God thought of the heavens and the earth, the animal and the plants, and he put us, humankind, at the center of creation as ones made in his own image. And yet, having created the world, humanity continued time and time again to turn away from the ways of God. It's what we call the fall or sin. Humanity turned away from the things that God had designed us for, from that close relationship, walking with him, knowing his presence day by day. And so much of the Bible is the story of us turning our own way, going our own direction and ignoring the things that God has for us. Yet God didn't want that for us. God didn't want us to be separate from him. And so there's what we call incarnation, where God himself, Jesus, came close. Jesus walked on the earth, came to earth as a baby, God in human flesh. And Jesus experienced life. He started as a baby and as a boy and as a teenager and as a young builder. And then as a teacher, but not like the other teachers, as the greatest teacher who was able to explain to people around him with a power and authority that came only from God. In incarnation, Jesus came into the world. He experienced the world in its day-to-day life and stepped into the gap so that things could be made right with God again, what we call redemption, incarnation and redemption, because Jesus took our place. The only one to ever walk the earth who did not commit sin took our place on the cross so that we can be right with God. He broke the power of sin and death by rising again from the dead. And Jesus points towards the final thing I want to say of that, the new creation. Because from his redemption, Jesus points towards a day when all things will be made new, where the sin that's still around will be completely gone, where the world will be renewed and there will be a new way of life. That's the story that the Bible gives us, a story of creation and fall, a story of incarnation and redemption, and a story of a new creation, a future hope where one day things will be made well. I don't know if you've ever watched a film and read the same book and been disappointed at what you found. Sarah and I recently re-listened to Harry Potter in the car together over a couple of years. And at the end of every book, we would watch the film. And I would sit there so frustrated at the film. So many great parts that they missed out. In 2 minutes, I have done barely any justice to the richness of the greatest story ever told. There is so much more in the Bible than that sort of headline narrative. But what it does tell us is that there is a big story that we are part of and invited into, a story with these key moments, a story that not only shapes history, but can shape our lives too. Because today, the thing I want to say to us is that we can step into the story of the Bible. That God's word isn't just that old book that stays on the shelf, but it is a living story that we are invited into in our own lives. We are invited to join the story. Paul writes in our passage of himself as part of the story. He speaks about his own life, his own teaching, his own reliance on Scripture. He speaks about his way of life, his purpose, his faith, his patience, his love, endurance, persecution, and sufferings. He speaks about these things that Timothy would have known well, because Timothy knows Paul. He knows what he's like. And yet Paul provides this link. He says, the things that I've experienced, that you've seen in me, you can also find in Scripture. We turn to God's word and find ourselves in the story. And we can find that in the big story of creation, because not only did God create the whole universe, You can think about the stars and the moon and the sun. God also created you and me, every single one of us in this room. He knows every fiber of your being, every hair on your head. You are fearfully and wonderfully made because God loves and knows you. He's not just the big creator. He's the creator of every single one of us too. Not only did Adam and Eve once eat the apple and disobey God's word in the fall, I certainly think day by day I experience a world that is marred by sin and brokenness in my own life and in the world around us. You just need to turn on the news to see that. So too, every one of us, day by day, through negligence, through weakness, or our own deliberate fault, fall short of the ways of God. And yet, because of the incarnation, not only did Jesus walk as a human 2,000 years ago, Jesus continues to be interested in our day-to-day life. Now, 2,000 years on, in our little corner of the world, Jesus is interested in our day-to-day life. Incarnation isn't just something that happened, but it's God's commitment to humanity, his commitment to show us his love, his commitment to walk with us by his Spirit in the day-to-day of our lives. In redemption, Jesus did everything necessary, not just for a cosmic breakthrough between humanity and God, but for our breakthrough, for each and every one of us to know the freedom that comes by following Jesus. Jesus did everything we need so that the power of death has no power in our own lives. And the line in the sand where the cross and the tomb set aside the old world and set our eyes on the new creation, what Jesus did is something that each and every one of us can do. We can look to the new creation, the day when all things will be made well, when those little niggles of pain in our body are no more, when the hurt and the suffering that we see around us is no more, when all things will be made well. And once again, we will know the closeness of God's presence every single day. Today, I'd love to invite you to see yourself within the story, to see yourself in this great story of all time, and to know that God's word isn't just a book. It's something living and active that can work in each and every one of our hearts. And as you join the story, you start to let it shape you. You see, Paul speaks to Timothy about scripture being useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training. But to let the Bible be useful, to let the Bible be practical in your own life, you need to enter in. You need to join the story. You need to say yes to those things and choose them in your own life again today. That's what I hope each and every one of us can do this morning. Can I invite the band up and we are going to pray. As we respond in prayer this morning, there are two words that I would love to bring to us. One of those is faith, and the other is surrender. Maybe this morning, as you look at the story of the Bible, as you look at God's word, once again, the invitation is to have fresh faith, maybe even to have new faith, to say, I want to step into that today. I want to say yes to the things of God and see myself within this great story. I want those things to be my things. I want to say yes this morning. Perhaps for some of us, I think there's an invitation to faith today. The second thing I think is there's an invitation to surrender. Because it's easy to say yes to God once and then wander off and keep going with other things in life. But I think for many of us, there might be bits of our lives that we've just continued to hold back. We might know there's more that we need to surrender. Maybe you've said yes to Jesus, but actually when it comes to money, you're like, actually, I'm sort of still looking after that bit. Or when you're thinking about your career, no, actually, I'm looking after that bit at the moment. As I invite us to step into the story of the Bible, to step into what God has this morning, I think for some of us, there's more to surrender. God's maybe prompting us with things in our own lives that we can once again bring into the story and trust him with. So shall we stand? We're going to invite the Holy Spirit to come. to minister to us. And there'll be an opportunity to come and receive prayer as we do that. And we'll continue worshiping in a few minutes as well. So let's just pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, in this place. Would you fill each and every one of us? Sometimes it's helpful to just open your hands as a sign of your openness, your inward openness, showing it an outward sign. Pray, Holy Spirit, would you move in our hearts for faith, for surrender,